It's the Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Molly Stentz, in for Kate Archer-Kent. Doorbells with video cameras. They can catch a porch pirate in the act of swiping your package. But they may also catch your neighbor in their bathrobe, maybe your neighbor's kids, without their knowledge. Police are starting to worry they're tipping off suspects who can watch them coming. But video cameras have also been a useful tool for law enforcement. More than 40 Wisconsin police departments partner with Amazon, the maker of the Ring doorbell, to request residents' private video footage. Are we inadvertently building our own neighborhood surveillance systems? Would you give police access to your video footage? Does it make you feel safer? We're at 1-800-642-1234. Our guest this morning raises questions about their use. Evan Greer is Deputy Director of Fight for the Future, a nonprofit advocacy group for digital rights. Good morning, Evan.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for being here. So tell us about this program, this partnership that Ring, that Amazon has with police departments across the country.
Sure. I mean, you've got to hand it to Amazon, because this really was a fairly brilliant marketing ploy, if something that's also harmful to our communities. But what Amazon has done is they're sort of bone grafting themselves to law enforcement institutions across the country and turning our local police, funded through our tax dollars, into sort of a marketing arm for their surveillance products. So Amazon has entered into now thousands of these partnerships with police departments across the country, where police will offer subsidies or discounts on Amazon products, and or simply encourage members of their community to purchase these devices. And in exchange, the cops basically get VIP access to request footage from these cameras with basically no checks and balances or oversight in place to dictate what they can do with that footage once they collect it, if a homeowner decides to turn it over.
Okay, so break this down for me. Do police still need a warrant or a subpoena to get access to this data?
That is an excellent question, and unfortunately the answer is no. Really what this does is creates a technological end run around the Fourth Amendment. So rather than having to go get a warrant or a subpoena, police can now kind of press a button, send an email to dozens, hundreds, potentially even thousands of owners of these inexpensive, insecure cameras. And then any of those homeowners can basically press a button to send them the footage that they've collected. And again, there's currently really no laws or regulations in place that dictate how often police can do that, what purposes they can do it for, what types of crimes they can investigate by requesting footage from these devices. And they've openly admitted that once they do collect the footage, there's currently no rules in place dictating how long they can hold on to it, whether they can hand it over to other agencies like Immigrations and Customs Enforcement, for example. And so we know that what's happening here is this is creating sort of a dragnet where police can request enormous amounts of footage and use it for all kinds of things far beyond what perhaps the homeowner expected it to be used for. Just to give one concrete example, we know through public records requests that police in Los Angeles used footage from Ring cameras to monitor Black Lives Matter protesters over the summer in Los Angeles. So there's a clear example of this being used not to catch a package thief or stop a burglar, but to monitor First Amendment protected activity by individuals protesting for racial justice.
So doesn't Ring, I mean, Ring says on their terms of service that they don't release user information to law enforcement except in response to a, quote, valid and binding legal request properly served.
Right. So that's if the police went to Amazon and said, hey, we want this homeowner's footage. What the Ring Neighbors app and the kind of law enforcement portal that they've created does is it allows law enforcement to, again, request footage from homeowners. The homeowner gets a notification or an email that says, hey, the police in your area have requested footage from this particular time period, right? And they're supposed to have a good reason. They're supposed to be investigating a crime. But what we've seen is that, you know, police could request footage for a very serious crime. You know, perhaps a shooting has occurred or something like that. And of course, people are going to be willing to hand over their footage. But again, the problem is because these partnerships are being formed completely outside our democratic process, with no oversight from city councils or even mayors in most cases, there's nothing to stop the police from then using the footage they collect to bust some teenagers who were smoking weed in the park across the street, or for any number of other purposes far beyond that initial reason that a homeowner chose to hand over their footage to the cops. And again, the end result is that there's just more eyes and ears constantly watching our communities and our neighborhoods. And what we've seen in the numbers is that the proliferation of Ring devices is strongly correlated with a huge uptick in incidents of racial profiling. If you look at the Neighbors app, there is an enormous prevalence of people posting footage, photos, and videos of people who they say are suspicious in their neighborhood, many of whom are just people of color going about their daily lives, a delivery driver, someone walking their dog. And so what we know is that these devices, for the vast majority of people, they don't make us more safe. They actually introduce more risk into our communities by sort of turning neighbors against each other and exacerbating existing forms of discrimination and profiling that we already know are a problem in our society.
So how are they different, though, than neighbors? I feel like we've all had that neighbor that would the police come to their door, they would tell you what's going on in the neighborhood. They would, and maybe they would have opinions about the kids in the neighborhood that they would share, and maybe they were based in fact, maybe they were their own opinions, right? So how is this any different than neighbors kind of having suspicions about their other neighbors and sharing those with law enforcement?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think one way to think about it is imagine that that neighbor, and like you said, we've all had that neighbor, right? Imagine that that neighbor now has a surveillance camera trained at your front door from their front door and can watch every time you come and go. And, you know, they're not just looking out their window. They can do it when they're sleeping, right? And so, again, this creates this pervasive, constant monitoring of our communities, of our streets. And again, for me, it comes down to, again and again, there's no policy to protect people, right? One thing, for example, we know is that more traditional companies that sell CCTV cameras to businesses, tend to install those cameras in compliance with state CCTV laws, which vary from state to state. But many states have rules in place that say you can't install a camera on your home or business that's watching your neighbor across the street. It has to be monitoring your own property. Amazon puts into their terms of service that homeowners should comply with those laws too, but they know that the vast majority of people are going to get this device in the mail, open the box, and stick it on their front door and never think twice about whether it might be violating some law that they've never heard of. And so they're sort of flagrantly avoiding these statewide laws. It's early here on the East Coast. Sure. And earlier for you, they're sort of flagrantly avoiding these protections in place by sort of doing what they do across their entire industry, which is sort of outsourcing the problem, right? They outsource their drivers. They, kind of create externalities by underpaying their workforce. And now we see this example where they're creating what is essentially a privately owned surveillance empire or panopticon. And then they're throwing up their hands and saying, it's not our fault. It's the homeowners. They chose to put the camera there. The police request the footage. They said, yes, we're not responsible for anything that happens because of that.
We're speaking with Evan Greer, deputy director of the nonprofit group Fight for the Future, an advocacy group for digital rights. You're listening to The Morning Show. I'm Molly Stenz. The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Molly Stenz. Ring doorbells have grown in popularity in a few short years. They've also been hacked. A Mississippi family sued the company after their 8-year-old was accosted by a stranger on the internet who was able to break into the camera in her bedroom. Like a scene from a horror movie, the unsuspecting girl heard creepy music and then a strange voice suddenly coming from somewhere in her bedroom. Only this was real life. Do you have a doorbell with a video camera? Would you trust leaving a webcam on in your house? We're at 1-800-642-1234. Ideas@WPR.org. We're talking with Evan Greer of the nonprofit digital advocacy group called Fight for the Future. Evan, what are our rights when it comes to this data?
Yeah, that's a great question. And the short answer is we don't have very many. Again, because of the lack of policies in place right now to protect people from this type of private surveillance, again, which is distinct from government surveillance, right? If the police had installed these cameras, that would make a difference in terms of our civil liberties. But again, Amazon has kind of found this ingenious but evil way to circumvent those democratic protections and that democratic process. Again, if police wanted to install a camera on all of our front doors, surely we would have to have some city council meetings. There would be some public forums. People maybe would even get a vote. In this case, your neighbor can stick one of these on their door. And if it captures footage of you or your children or your family members or monitors your activities, when you come, when you go, you know, where you go, there's really not very much that we can do about that unless we start demanding some policies. And we have seen in some cities across the country, city councilors starting to talk about ordinances that could protect people and or demand that police end these partnerships that give them, again, sort of VIP access to the footage that these cameras are collecting. And I think that that's really the direction that we need to go in. We've seen ordinances across the country banning invasive surveillance technologies like facial recognition, which have exhibited systemic racial bias and have been shown to exacerbate existing forms of racial discrimination within our criminal justice system. Amazon Ring is no different. It's a different type of technology, but it has the same effect. And so this is really one of those moments where we need lawmakers to step in and put protections in place to sort of update the law for these modern times where we're not just dealing with cameras on businesses or cameras on police cars, but we're heading toward a world where you know, many, many people will have cameras on their homes, on their cars. We need protections in place so that our civil liberties don't slip away as the technology becomes cheaper and more expansive.
We're speaking with Evan Greer of the nonprofit digital advocacy group called Fight for the Future. And Evan, we've got callers who want to talk to you. Let's go to Michael in Elroy. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning. Thank you for the conversation. I'm neither a liberal nor a conservative. I'm a middle-of-the-road guy, and I grew up in a small town in southwestern Wisconsin where within the last 5 years there's been two meth labs busted. And I think this is largely a solution in search of a problem, because way more good's going to be done by this than bad. Now, if indeed you feel that laws need to be passed, well, let's get them passed. But again, I think it's a little bit overblown at this point. Thank you.
Thanks, Michael. Michael talking about drugs in his neighborhood and the fact that this can be a tool. This can be useful for actually preventing crime. What do you think?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, and thanks for the call, Mike. You know, I think it's really important that we always look at the broader societal impact, right? You know, any type of policy or technology comes with real trade-offs. And, you know, certainly there are real issues in our communities that need to be addressed. What I would argue is we need to think about this a bit more holistically. You know, rather than just slapping a camera on the front door, can we start addressing some of the underlying problems that tend to contribute to what we call quality of life crimes, right? Especially things like package theft, where for the most part, people are stealing packages and selling them to buy food or to take care of their basic survival needs. If we had some protections in place, some basic policies to make sure that people weren't slipping through the cracks that way, that's actually been shown to do a lot more to reduce crime than increasing surveillance. We've also seen even basic measures like increasing lighting in downtown areas, just more street lights. have a more significant impact on reducing crime without any of the kind of added forms of discrimination that we're talking about with this type of surveillance. And then, you know, to go back to your original introduction here, Molly, you know, it's really important that folks understand that these devices are also not secure. So even if you're less concerned about the privacy, civil liberties implications, it's really important to understand that putting a internet-connected camera on your front door or in your child's bedroom makes your family less safe, not more safe. And there are steps that people can take to make these devices a bit more safe, but Amazon especially has shown a significant track record of, you know, moving fast and breaking things, as is the adage in Silicon Valley. And they rolled these devices out and have been selling them rapidly, even when they knew they weren't particularly secure. And the fact is, there's no such thing as an internet-connected camera that's 100% secure. So if you ask me whether I would put one in my room or my kid's room, I would tell you, heck no.
Well, Evan, we've got another call for you. Matt from Nisita is joining us this morning. Good morning, Matt.
Good morning. So I think, to my knowledge, it's pretty well established in law, I think nationally, that you don't really have any expectation of privacy in public. Unfortunately, you know, I wish that weren't the case. But I think if we're going to point the finger or suggest laws be passed, it would be to prevent the government from surveilling, because they're doing it on such a ridiculously larger scale than, you know, Bob next door. To say that your neighbor can't have a camera, but, you know, Uncle Sam can everywhere all the time, I don't know. That's not where I guess I'd put my priorities. Thank you.
Thanks, Matt. I want to go to another question we have coming in for you, Evan. We've got Adam joining us from Deerfield next.
Sure.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes, good morning, Adam. What was your question?
Well, I'd just like some clarification. The guest had spoke a couple of times about the police having access to the footage from the victim.
You're breaking up a little bit. You're asking about what access the police actually have?
Yes, because they have to get consent from the homeowner that has the Ring device. Isn't that correct? I mean, they can't just access that information without authorization from the homeowner.
Evan?
Yeah, so I can jump in on kind of both of these points, because I think they're actually very connected. You know, to the first caller's point about, you know, sort of Big Brother, I think that's actually an excellent point. And that's really why we are so concerned. This is not about your neighbor monitoring you. This is about the fact that Amazon has created what's called a law enforcement portal that allows police to request footage simultaneously from as many Ring camera owners as they want within a certain area. They can literally drag and drop. Imagine you're on Google Maps and say, give me all the Ring camera owners in this area and send them a message asking them for footage. So the second caller is right. It's not that they have direct access. They can't just turn on your camera and watch whenever they want. But what Amazon has done is they've created sort of a seamless, expedited process for them to request footage en masse, which is a form of mass government surveillance. It's being enabled by a private corporation and private homeowners, but the end result is no different than what the National Security Agency did that Edward Snowden exposed, in terms of creating a dragnet effect where the police are able to vacuum up enormous amounts of data. They get consent from a handful of homeowners, but they're not getting consent from the people who are captured by those homeowners' devices, who are maybe just walking down the street, or again, the kids playing in the park across the street. And so when we think about consent, when we think about opt-in in this circumstance, yes, you know, it is sort of a legal foundation that we don't have an expectation of privacy when we're in public walking down the street, but that doesn't mean that we have an expectation that our every move is being monitored by these devices, and that footage could be handed over to law enforcement and used for any purpose with absolutely no checks and balances, and that police could request footage en masse for any purpose with no checks and balances there. That's not traditionally how policing has worked. And really what it does is it removes incentives for police to focus their attention on more serious crimes, when they can just click a button and request footage en masse for even the most low-level infraction. Again, like some teenagers playing in a park, or someone stealing a package. I think we should have a higher bar for enabling this type of massive surveillance, given the harms that we've seen can come with it.
But Evan, consumers, they can reject these requests, right?
That's right. But again, what we see is, people who buy Ring cameras are many of them are those neighbors who you were talking about earlier, right? And so again, the difference here is previously, before devices like this, if a crime was committed and police wanted to go around and ask neighbors about it, they would have to dedicate some hours to it, right? They'd have to send some officers out, go knock on doors and ask people, hey, did you see anything? Now they can do it en masse with the push of a button, and that fundamentally threatens our basic human rights and the future of our democracy.
Sure. Well, that's all the time we have, Evan. But thank you for being here. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me.
Evan Greer is the deputy director of Fight for the Future, a nonprofit advocacy group for digital rights. Up next is the news and the story of our Wisconsin life. Then we talk about a new program at the University of Wisconsin to study psychedelics. I'm Molly Stentz, and this is The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.